Right, well, I chose that reading because it fits in with something slightly different that comes in a little later on. We've been looking in Romans, and we're still there, but today we are looking at the character that Paul talks about. So if we can begin, please.
Yeah.
Have a lighter. Sorry? This one?
No file up there. Well, if you go into my computer and go into. No, it should be.
There we are. Technology pass. It's Romans chapter 4 is what we'll be looking at. Right. There we are. Okay. This out the way. Yes. Right. Okay. Yes. Role models. Role models. Some are good, some are not so good. And what we're going to be looking at today is the role model for the believer. And that's Abraham, believe it or not. And Romans chapter 4 tells us that. A role model. Someone who sort of sets the pace, shows you what it's like, yes? And interestingly, Abraham is the guy that, in the Bible, was the pioneer of what it was to live by faith and to trust God. So he is the example for us all. I've got a verse in Genesis 12, 1-3 there. God told Abraham to leave where he was and to go to where he didn't know, but God would show him. And although Abraham is our role model, we don't do everything exactly as Abraham did. You're not going to be living in Ur of the Chaldees very recently, I guess. But, you know, there are principles in his life that are there for you and for me, as we'll see. But there's something really important about Genesis chapter 12, 1-3. God said to Abraham, I'm going to make you into a father of many nations. You're going to be a blessing to the world. Right? And then he said something really interesting. He says, those who bless you, I will bless. And those who curse you, I will curse. So how you treat Abraham, and how you treat Abraham's descendants, will make all the difference between whether you get blessed or whether you finish up with a mess of a curse. Right, so we're going to be blessing Abraham this morning, I trust, as we look at what the Lord had to say about him. Okay, so here we are. It's in Romans chapter 4, verses 1-8. We've got there. It's quite a long bit of print, but I've tried to summarise what it says with the heading, although there's an awful lot that it says in detail. And you can study that for yourselves, but first of all, it's Romans 4. What shall we say then that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. So, what Paul is getting at there, to put it in a nutshell, is, do you get into a relationship with God by the things you do, or the things that God does for you? And the answer is, what God's done for you. Right? And so you're trusting what he's done. You're not putting your trust in what you do, you're putting your trust in what he's done for you. Really simple. You know, you don't have to be clever to trust here. Right? But you might have to be a PhD to do some, you know, nuclear physics or something. If God only let nuclear physicists into heaven, there wouldn't be any of us there, would there? So he's kept it simple because he knows you cannot, by your own efforts, do what God requires in order to match up to the standard to get you into heaven. So that's really important to grasp that. It's not what you do, it's who you believe and trust in that really matters. So I'll just give you some examples now then. We'll come to that later on about what you believe is important as well. So let's have a look at the next bit. Right, so are you in credit? We normally talk about credit thinking about money, don't we? Are you in credit? Oh, well, we live in the credit society today, up to our ears in credit. What's the problem with credit? Is it's yours but it isn't. Yeah? Payback time comes sometime. Well, that's not the word that Paul's using when he talks about God credited it to him as righteousness, you know, because if it was credit in that sense, there'd be a payback, wouldn't there? But it's not that what it's about.
No. The man who does not work but trusts in God is justified by faith. His faith is credited as righteousness.
So I want us to think about, because this is the really important thing, how does it mean? What does it mean when he says faith is credited as righteousness? Right, so I've got one example for you from a rather different story. Here we are. A few centuries later, there was a man called Eli. He was the high priest, and he dwelt at Shiloh, where the tabernacle had taken up permanent residence. And there was a lady called Hannah. It's in the first chapter of 1 Samuel. Hannah was a good woman, but she couldn't have any children, and she had the misfortune of being married to a man who had two wives. One of the wives, Peninnah, could have children. Hannah couldn't, and so the one that did really picked on the one that didn't and put her down something rotten. One day, as they regularly went up to the Shiloh to worship on the feast occasions, one day when she was there, it really got to her, and she was so grief stricken and so upset, because Peninnah had been having another bash at her. She was so upset, she went up to the tent there and sort of sat down or knelt down or whatever she did, and she started praying to God, "Oh God, give me a child, please Lord." And she wasn't speaking out loud, she was talking to herself, except she was talking to God, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
People couldn't hear what she was saying, but her lips were moving. And she was sort of mouthing it, but not saying it. She was saying it in her soul. And God was listening to what she said. That's encouraging, isn't it, really? God can hear your prayers when nobody else can, which is good. So Hannah is praying away with her mouth moving. And Eli spots her sitting there doing this. And what does he think? He thinks she's drunk. And it says in 1 Samuel 1:13, he credited her as a drunk. Now then, what does credit mean in that conversation? And it's the same word as used about Abraham. It means he thought she was, and he treated her as if she was. Right? Drunk in this occasion, right? So when we think about Abraham, God regards Abraham as righteous because he's trusting him. It's not that as he puts some righteousness in his bank account. Yes? That's not the credit we're talking about. God thought of Abraham and treated Abraham as one of his children because Abraham was trusting. Yeah? So that makes faith a little bit more clear for us, I hope, you know. It's putting your trust in God, and what God does for you is he begins to treat you, credit you as one of his.
Amen.
Right, okay, so we've got the idea of what it's about. So what do we find is, he says, God said to Abraham, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, and so shall your offspring be." So that's when it comes from. It's in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. One day, God said to Abraham, he'd arrived from Ur of the Chaldees, he'd been in the land 10 years, and God said to him, after that period of time, he took him outside his tent and said, "Have a look at the stars." Now, the good thing about living where Abraham was, when Abraham was living there was no light pollution. Right? So the skies were just absolutely phenomenal. If you've ever had the chance to get to a really dark place on a clear skies night, do go out and have a look.
We've got to come to our village.
Right, Terps is your place. Go to Terps. No light pollution. Fabulous. And so Abraham goes outside, and God says to him, "Look at all that. How many stars are there, Abraham? Can you count them?" And of course the answer is no. Right? So God said to Abraham, "You see that, Abraham? That's how many descendants you're going to have." And what does he say? Abraham, he's called Abraham at this point in time. You'll see something changes later on. But he's called Abraham, believed God. By the way, Abraham means big daddy. Yes? Ab, his father, Ram means big. So he's big daddy, isn't he? Right? Okay, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed that God, what God had said, was going to happen. And it says, as a result of that, God started to treat him as a member of the family. One of his.
Yeah.
God thought of him in a different way. Okay. So Abraham believes God. Next, please, then. So, we've got it at this point. Abraham, or Abraham at this point, entered a relationship with God by believing what God said, not by performing some deed or ritual. That's what Paul's going to make out in Romans. It's not what Abraham did. He didn't go through any sort of religious exercise or some special do of some sort.
Stand up, sit there.
Right? Stand up, sit down three times, turn around seven times, say, ooh, ah, what you want, it's, and that's it, you're in. No! Doesn't work that way. He didn't do any of that stuff. He just believed what God had said. And that meant he entered into it. So, again, to say when he says justified, God justified him, it's that God made him into a right relationship with him. Okay? So Abraham believed God, and God made him one of his. Right. Next, please. So, Paul says in Romans chapter 4, you can see this as well, he's given Abraham as an example. He says, but it's not just Abraham, it's the Bible truth. The Old Testament teaches that it's through faith that we enter into a relationship with God. And he says, King David says the same. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Right, that was King David. Now, if you know anything of the story of King David, he, of all people, was really pleased that God didn't count his sins against him, but counted him as righteous because he trusted God. One of the things that marked out David for all his sins and all his folly was what was said about him at the beginning. He was a man after God's own heart. There was something in David that he knew he wanted God as his gracious father, and so he was a man after God's own heart. And so, when he does realise about his terrible sin, David confesses this, oh, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven. Praise the Lord. Good to be forgiven, eh? And that once the sin, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Right, we're into the credit bit again. God doesn't count it against you, he counts it out. No longer sin is counted against you. So this is how you get to know this. Forgiveness is through trusting in God, just like Abraham did, just like David did. Really, really important. Next, please, then. So, to the man who does not work but trusts God who justifies the wicked, faith is credited as righteousness. So that's my first thought is, you know, are you in credit? Are you in credit on the faith front, is what I mean. Are you in credit with God? What I mean by that is God considering you as one of his? Are you one of his people through trusting in him? Not what you've done, not what you could ever do, but simply in the mercy of God, trusting what he's done for you. Then you are in credit. And the good news is, you're in credit forever. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Right, so, there we are. Our worshipper has got the message, just like Abraham. So, next please. So, then Paul goes on to ask, because he's dealing with the Jew and Gentile issue, is this blessing for both of us, for the Jew and for the Gentile? And the answer is, of course, yes. For both. Right? But he says this, is this blessedness only for the Jew or also for the Gentile? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. The point he's making there simply is this, did Abraham become a believer before he became a Jew or after? You see, Abraham wasn't a Jew at first. Yeah? He was born in the pagan community in Ur of the Chaldees, and it was only when God called him and brought him into a relationship with him, later on, you'll see, he became a Jew. Right? But up to this point in time, he's just like the rest of us, I guess, I suppose, yeah? Right? So, did he believe in the Lord before or after? And the answer is before. And that's important, because Paul's making the point that God is the God of the Gentiles as well as the Jews. Right, so that's where he's getting at. So the blessing is for both. Praise the Lord. So, Abraham, or Abram, he's called at the time, Abram became a believer 13 years before he became a Jew. You can read that. There's the, then he was given the name Abraham when he became a Jew. It's Genesis 16 and 17, just to give you a drift of the story. God told Abraham, or called Abraham, Abram, big daddy, yes. Abraham means father of many people. Yes. Right, so, but he's called Abraham to start with. God spoke to him, he says, I'm going to bless you and give you all this great number of people. Abraham believed, and he became one of God's children. Right? Yes? Now then, nothing happened for a while. No kids, nothing happened. So Sarah thought, I know, I'll help God out. Tell you what, Abraham, yes?
When you say he became a Jew,
yes.
Right, I thought he'd become a Jew by birth.
No. You'll see in a moment, yes, you'll see in a moment, yeah? Right. You can become a Jew by birth, but there's still something needed, yes? Okay, so Abraham was helped out by his wife, Sarah. She said, tell you what, I can't have kids. So, tell you what, I've got an Egyptian slave, Hagar. She's a good girl. She'll be fine. You marry her, and then she can have kids by you, and that's the promise sorted out. So, sure enough, Abraham marries her. They have intercourse. She becomes pregnant, and she gives birth to a little boy called Ishmael. Right? And when Hagar discovers she's pregnant, what does she say to Sarah? Right, so equivalence, right? So Sarah gets rather miffed about it all. Right, so there's problems now. So that was year one. And God still said, no, Ishmael's not the one. He's not the one. Right? So 13 years go by till eventually the Lord says to Abraham, I'm going to bless you and give you children. And Abraham says, well, I ain't got any kids, Lord. How about my servant, Eliezer? He's in charge of the family. He'll inherit, won't he? God says, no, one of yours. Right, so Abraham believes God, but Abraham now is told to do something. He says, tell you what, Abraham, what are you going to do as a means of showing that you're believing what I'm saying and trusting? Now then, you have to get circumcised. And your family gets circumcised. From this point on, he's a Jew. Right? He becomes a Jew when he's circumcised. Right? And all his family, as I said, Ishmael too. Right? So Ishmael's the child of him. You could call Ishmael a Jew as well. Interesting, eh? I wonder what the Arabs think of that one. Yeah? But he is. He's one of Abraham's family. Okay, anyway, that's another story. So Abraham is circumcised at that point, 13 years after the promise was given. Now then, got a nice picture for you next. There you are. In Romans it says, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. Now then, do you recognise the guy in the uniform then? Me? Yes. Right. Now then, my face, yes. Now then, the reason I've done that is because the problem for the Jew was that they counted on circumcision as being the final guarantee that they were Abraham, that they were God's children. Right. Now then, I've got a picture there of me in a police uniform. Does my wearing a police uniform make me a policeman?
No.
Right. Okay. So am I a policeman without a uniform? If I was a policeman? Yes. You're imagining I'm the policeman now. If I was a policeman, I'd still be a policeman, but I'd be an off-duty policeman if I didn't have a uniform on. But the moment I put my uniform on, I'm the proper job, aren't I? Yes. So what I'm getting at is, circumcision and being a Jew is important. Paul's going to show that, right? But making you a Jew doesn't make you a believer. Right? I'm not a policeman because I wear the uniform. You're not a believer just because you're circumcised. That's what Paul's getting at. It's about trusting in the Lord for yourself, which is what it's about. Right, so get rid of the silly picture now then. So, he says, Abraham is your role model. A role model for all believers. So then, he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, in order that the righteousness might be credited to them. He is also the father of the circumcised, the Jews, who are not only circumcised, got the uniform, but also walk in the footsteps of the father that our father Abraham had before, footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So the point he's getting as, Jew, Gentile, all can come to God through faith in trusting God. Right, that's important. So, Abraham's the role model for all believers. So, again, I shrunk all that says there to this. It's by faith, not works, so that everyone benefits. Let me just read it. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless. because the law brings wrath. Yes, the rule book, if you break the rules, have penalties. That's what he's getting at. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Now that's a little sentence that comes in the middle of that. It's, I'll just mention it now. Have you heard of what they call subliminal advertising?
Yeah.
You know, at the cinemas, they used to, I don't know, I don't think it's allowed now.
In
the film, they just put a few frames of Coca-Cola and butter, like, you know, the popcorn, just something like that anyway. Put a few frames of that in the film, right? You just don't notice it, but your brain does. And then you think, oh, I'd love some Coca-Cola. And the sales go up. Right? It's subliminal, right? Just a quick flash, and then it's gone. Well, that line there, where there is no law, there is no transgression, that's Paul doing subliminal advertising, because the next chapter is going to be about that. Right? But just pass it by for the moment. Okay, but next on then. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace, and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Not only of those who are of the law, but also of those who are of the faith of Abraham. So, I ask you the question, are you a child of Abraham? Yes, if you believe in the Lord, you are a child of Abraham. Not physically, but spiritually, right? That's the important thing. You could be a physical child of Abraham and go to hell. Right? That's what Jesus said to those people. Remember, he says, you're of your father. They said, we're Abraham's children. He said, well, Abraham didn't do what you're doing. Oh, no, God's our father. No, God's not your father, because you do what your father does. He's the devil. And you know where the devil's going? You're going to be following him if you carry on the same way. So, you see, it's by faith, trusting in the Lord, that we benefit. Everybody benefits. Good. Wonderful. Next, please. So, we're going to look now, just very briefly, at what Abraham's faith was all about. Faith in action. Because, you know, faith in the head, no good. Right? I'll just ask you a few simple questions. Do you believe that God created the world?
Yes.
Right? Will that save you?
No.
Right? Do you believe that God sent Jesus?
Yes.
Will that save you?
No.
No.
Yes.
No. What?
No.
No. Right? Plenty believe Jesus had come from God, yeah, but didn't do any good to them. Right? How about this? You believe that God's going to judge the world?
Yes.
Will that save you?
Yes.
No.
No.
Right, so, we'll find out what it really means. Let's have a look. Abraham believed God when it looked
impossible.
Right? Abraham's faith in action was, Abraham believed when it looked impossible. Now, what is it about this faith that Abraham has that helps him to do that? Now then, let's have a look at the next one there, please. Right. First of all, his faith was realistic. We're told in that passage in Romans, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Right? Now then, Abraham obviously had a child by Hagar, but that was after God said he would become a father of many nations, and the nations of Ishmael also count, I guess you could say, but not in the same way. Right? But Sarah is getting older and older, way past time of childbirth, childbearing, and yet Abraham, it says, he faced the facts. So the thing about real faith is it doesn't bury its head in the sand. You face life as it really is. And humanly speaking, it was impossible for him to have a child by Sarah. Yes, absolutely impossible. But his faith was realistic. But, next please, his faith was reasonable. Got some R's for you, just to help me remember it. His faith was reasonable. People usually say, you know, it's blind faith. No, it wasn't blind faith at all. Abraham's got his eyes open. He sees me and Sarah nowhere on our own. But his faith's reasonable because it says, God in whom we believe, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. We're dealing with God now, not just humans. And it says then, he did not waver through unbelief. Plenty have. Abraham didn't. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised.
Abraham believed God because God's worth believing. You can trust him. If he says he's going to do it, you better believe it. He's going to do it. So Abraham looked at himself, thought, looked at God, thought, yes, this is going to happen, because he's looking in the right direction. So his faith was reasonable. He believed what God said, because God had said it. Next, please. His faith was real. Now, this is a challenge for us, you know. His faith was real. I said that, you know, it took a long time for all this to happen. He says, Abraham believed God for 13 years before he saw the promise answered. How about that? How long will your faith last?
Never.
Oh, yes, yes. Right. His faith lasted for 13 years. When faith lasts that long, we don't call it faith anymore. We call it faithfulness. You're holding on. You're persevering. You keep going. Right? That's important. That's what faith's really about. It's not just believing at the instant, but keeping on trusting. Right? Faith is that sort of faith where it just keeps hanging on in spite of what looks like impossibilities. Right? So, faith and faithfulness run together. It's faith in action leads to faithfulness. Important, brothers and sisters. It's no good signing a card and saying, I believe in Jesus. Well, it can be good, yeah? But if that's all it is, if that's all it is, a piece of pen and paper, then you're not saved.
That's right.
Huh? It's the heart that matters, trusting what God says, and that it begins to show itself by you keeping on trusting, keeping on going. It's real, it's alive, living faith. Next one, please. How about this? Faith in action. Abraham's faith, his faith was in Jesus. How about that? His faith was in Jesus? Well, Jesus says it was. So if Jesus says it was, that's all right. But I asked you the question before, does believing that God's the Creator save you? No. Does believing that God sent Jesus save you? No. Does believing that God is going to judge the world save you? No. So what's the faith that Abraham had that made the difference? Was it just that he was going to have some kids?
No.
No, not just that. As important as that was. What's the symbolism that Abraham began to understand, as we read in other parts of the Bible, that the real point that Abraham was looking at was, this promised child is going to be the saviour of the world. That's not Isaac, friends. That's Jesus. And Abraham's faith went through the family line to focus on the promise that was coming is Jesus. Right? And so, he says, Jesus says, on Palm Sunday here, we have it kept for you. Jesus, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. Abraham, Jesus says, Abraham looked forward to my day and he actually saw it. And he was glad about it. He was trusting, he was believing. And then he says, they said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him. Have you seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. What's Jesus just claimed?
God.
He's God. He's God. The name for God is I am that I am. They got the message because they picked up stones to stone him. Right. So they thought he was blaspheming. He wasn't. He was just telling them the truth. But he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Well, what day was Abraham looking forward to? Judgment Day. I think, better still, this is the forerunner of it. What's Palm Sunday about? It's the entrance of the King to be received by his people. Right? That's the promise. Yes? Well, Jesus, the King, is coming back to be welcomed by his people. I suspect that was the day Abraham was looking forward to. And can you see it? Are you looking forward to it?
Yes.
Well, if you are, well, you're on the right track. You're believing in the right person who forgives and welcomes you into his family. So Abraham believed, but it's what he believed that matters. He believed in God, he trusted God, but he believed the promise that God would be a blessing to the people through his descendant, who we know now is Jesus. Right, so, next week. It wasn't just for him, he says. Well, I've made that point already. It says it was credited to him as righteousness. The words it was credited to him were written not for him alone. Well, Abraham got the blessing. Going to see Abraham one day?
Yeah.
See, well done, mate. Did a good job there. He's our pioneer, the example. But it says, it was also for us to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. So our faith has to be focused not on what family you're going to have or what blessings God's going to give you. Your faith, first and foremost, needs to be focused on Jesus. Who he is, what he's done, and what God promises you if you trust him. Jesus, it says, we believe in him who raised our Lord Jesus from the dead. We're believing in God who raised Jesus from the dead brings you into a right relationship with God. You are then credited with righteousness, credited as one of God's family, as you put your trust in who Jesus is and what he's done. Let me have the last one. No, not quite the last, yeah. So Paul says in Romans 4:25, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. That's the core of what our Christian message is about. Jesus was delivered over to death, not because he'd done anything wrong, not because he deserved to die. He was delivered over to death for your sins. He took the rap that you should have taken. Right, so do you believe that?
Yes.
Right, so you're on the right road. But he doesn't stop there. Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and then raised for our justification. Well, why was he raised from the dead? Well, the simple answer, we'll look at that next week, of course, as well. He was raised from the dead to prove that when he died for a particular reason. God had accepted what he'd done, and now he rises from the dead. The resurrection is the guarantee of what Jesus did on the cross.
Amen.
Yeah? So, he was raised to life for our justification so that we could be right in a relationship with God. Wow. So, Jesus is alive, and the good thing about him being alive is he's now to be Lord of your life. He directs things you do. Next and last one, I think. So, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. So, my question again is, are you in credit? Are you in credit? Right. Have you got your trust in this Jesus who came to die on the cross for you, to rise from the dead, and he's coming back for you? Right. It's good to believe that God is the creator. It's good to believe that God sent Jesus. It's good to believe that he's coming to judge the world and put everything to rights. But all of that will fade into insignificance if you don't believe that this Jesus came to die for your sins and to make you a child of God through faith in him. Right? Then you can look back and say, Lord, you're the creator, you made me. You sent Jesus, he came for me. You're going to judge the world, and in judging the world, you're going to say, Dennis, you're one of mine. Come in and enjoy it all. Right? That's what justification means. That's what the judge is going to do. The judge has two jobs. One is to say to the guilty, out. Guilty. To those who are not guilty, come on in. Right? Are you going to be part of the come on in family?
Yeah.
If you are in credit, you're in. Praise the Lord. So, I rest my case. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that it's through faith in Jesus. And as you see it with Abraham and David, Lord, yes, we've sinned, we've failed, we've fallen short, Lord. We really cannot make any claim to have any advantage of deserving mercy and love and heaven. But Lord, thank you, you knew that. That's why Jesus came. And thank you, he came to die for us and then to rise again to, Lord, bless us and bring us home to glory. Thank you, Lord. It's so simple. And yet, Lord, we cannot understand it unless your Spirit opens our hearts and our minds. Lord, there are plenty that can read the words and hear the words, and yet, Lord, never really understand them. Lord, that it's something on the outside. Oh Lord, put it in the inside for all of us. And as we know in our hearts that we are accepted and forgiven and part of your family, help us, Lord, to have that faith that keeps on trusting, believes what you say, Lord, even if everything looks odds against it, Lord. Just to trust that what you say you'll do in your own good time. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.